Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider this morning are taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who through his redemptive work enables us to receive the crown of eternal life. Dear fellow redeemed. The saying, going for the gold, has been used in recent years when speaking of those who participate or anticipate being in the Olympic Games. Going for the gold gives expression to the highest aspiration of athletes around the world, that of winning a gold medal in the Olympics. The goal of winning that special medal has been regarded as being so very important for many that it has been a primary focus from the early beginnings of their life through those early stages of life. The endeavor of going for the gold has involved dedicating many years of an athlete's life to rigorous training. And along this long and arduous road, athletes have had to make sacrifices of self-denial. They've given up certain kinds of foods and drinks and a normal social life and a lot of other amenities of life. All this is done so that an athlete can be in top form for athletic competition. And if athletes are privileged enough to be among the few chosen by their country to represent their country in the Olympics, when the time finally comes to compete, they do it with all their might. They give it all that they have because they're going for the gold. The Christians in Corinth, to whom Paul initially addressed his inspired letter, were fully acquainted with such high-level athletic competition and everything it involved. For it was in this region of the world that the Olympics were first established and held. There were four different places that those competitions were held, and Corinth was one of them. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul spoke of the athletes who competed in a foot race of the Corinthian Games to illustrate some very important truths of yet another kind of race. He pointed to the most important race, which by the grace and mercies of God, we have been blessed to be able to participate in as believers. It is the spiritual race we run in our life of faith. The book of Hebrews alludes to this all-important race as it gives us the following words of exhortation. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The course that the Lord has set before us to run in, it is his good and gracious will for us to live and abide in the one true Christian faith to the very end of our lives. The wondrous prize that awaits all those who finish this race by remaining in the faith to the very end is far more glorious and far more valuable than what the Olympians in Paul's day won they had some kind of a wreath that was made out of pine.
Olive.
Well, I thought it was some kind of pine branches. I could be wrong. It was a garland of some sort. But even the temporary prize of a gold medal, Olympians today receive, pales in comparison to the prize that we will receive when we finish the race. It is a crown of everlasting life. And this prize is incomparable, as Paul says in his own race, nearing the end of it, saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to those, all those who have loved his appearing. That is all believers who look to Jesus in faith to the very end of their life. They will receive the imperishable crown of everlasting life in heaven. Having such a glorious prize to set our sights on, we have every reason to do all that we can with God's help to win that prize. Like the aspiring athletes who are going for the gold, our life should be focused. That's what those athletes were doing. They focused completely and totally on in their training to win the gold. For our entire life, we should be focused on the aim and goal of finally attaining the crown of heaven. This isn't something that we should be focusing on when we get toward the latter years of our lives. It should be our aspiration all of our life, from little on. A focused Christian involves diligently following on a spiritual course of training, pursuing those things that would strengthen our faith, and avoiding those things that would weaken or destroy our faith. We need to do this so that with the help of God, we'll be able to run that important race until we finish the race and cross the line at the end of life. Paul spoke of this latter aspect of training when he said, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. When athletes in Corinth were training for the Olympics, they were temperate in all things. That is, they were committed to make self-sacrifices and to exercise self-control and denying themselves or abstaining from anything that would make them physically or mentally weak. And so also in our going for the crown of eternal life, we need to faithfully exercise temperance in all things. We need to use self-control in denying ourselves anything that would spiritually weaken or cripple us so as to prevent us from finishing the race of life. Having been set free from the control of our fleshly nature through the redeeming and sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit, we are called by the Lord to deny ourselves by not indulging our flesh with all its sinful desires and emotion and worldly living. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul warns anyone who thinks that they can play with fire, that they can indulge with some of these sinful ways without thinking of repenting or turning away from them, this is the warning. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things and do not repent of it and turn from it will not inherit the kingdom of God. Instead of indulging ourselves in sinfulness, Scripture exhorts us, saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Let us lay aside every hindrance that would prevent us from completing the race by resisting sinful promptings of our flesh and by repenting of those sins that we've become guilty of. This kind of laying aside needs to be done every single day, because our fleshly nature is ever with us, and because of our slips and falls into sin that occur each and every day, we need to repent and turn to our Lord in faith for forgiveness. Speaking of slipping and falling, in 1988, in the Winter Olympics, an American speed skater by the name of Dan Jansen, he was favored to win in the 500 and the 1,000 meter speed skating race. Here was an athlete who had trained hard and long in order to compete in the Olympics, and all it took was one slip or fall, and he wouldn't win the gold or place. Well, he slipped and fell in both of those races. I'm sure it was really a big disappointment for him. In striking contrast to this, with regard to our spiritual race in life, the gospel of Christ comforts us with the good news of his abundant grace and mercy. It tells us that no matter how many times we slip and fall into any kind of sin, the Lord can enable us to finish the race and gain the crown of life. The Lord leads us to repent of our sins and to turn to Jesus day by day to receive forgiveness for all our sins. And Paul confirmed this blessed truth as he writes in his letter to the Romans, "But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more." There is, however, a more sorrowful scenario in the spiritual arena than that of the speed skater who fell in the Olympics. If anyone falls from faith in Jesus and remains in impenitence and unbelief to the very end, they are disqualified. And this is a horrifying, horrifying thought, for that to happen to anyone. And yet the Holy Scriptures gives us every reason to have a confident, certain hope of being able to finish the race, sinful as we may be, and finally receive the crown of glory. The Apostle Paul gives expression to this by saying, "Therefore I run thus, and not with uncertainty." The confidence that Paul had that he would be able to successfully run in the race and cross the finish line and receive the crown of life was not based upon confidence in his own inner strength and fortitude. Rather, it rested on his Savior God. Paul wrote to Timothy concerning this confidence in the Lord as he declared, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Through the work of the Holy Spirit, Paul had the confidence that he would be able to remain in the faith and cross the finish line. And in this blessed truth, he knew and believed in his heart that Jesus had already won the victory for him through his redemptive work, and when it's enabling him to receive this eternal salvation by giving him faith to believe and keeping him in the faith. Yet not only this, Paul possessed the unshakable confidence that God would keep him in the faith until the life's end, so that he would finally wear the crown of life. The Apostle Paul also speaks of believers being preserved in the faith through the power of God, so that we receive that incorruptible crown of everlasting life. He writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Through God, His power, we are kept believing to the very end. The Lord Jesus helps us to realize that God preserves us in the faith as we continue to listen to Him with a receptive and responsive spirit. Jesus says to us, and He's talking to other people, "But you do not believe, because you're not of my flock, you're not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice." And in the Greek, it means one who keeps on listening to the Good Shepherd. He says, "I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." What a great comfort it is to know, as sheep of His fold, as we keep on listening to Him, receiving His word with faith, He keeps us believing to the very end, and nobody's going to be able to snatch us out of His hands. God, in His infinite grace and mercy, has richly blessed us in having chosen us in Christ Jesus to run in the race of faith so that we receive the imperishable crown of everlasting life. Knowing and being assured that God has given us the victory through our Savior Jesus Christ, let's go for the gold, the eternal crown of everlasting life. Always looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Please rise. "And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen."